broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building. You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show.
Good morning and welcome to our show. Today is Wednesday.
Already?
Yes, March, what, 19th?
Yes.
Can you believe it's already March 19th?
Yes.
It seems like the year just rolled around.
I know.
A couple days ago.
I know. So, and also on this day, anyone who is interested at the Derby Club tonight, a band called Irvin Smirnoff. Smirnoff, you know, like the...
Smirnoff.
Smirnoff.
Uh-huh.
Like the alcohol.
Yes.
The vodka alcohol.
Uh-huh.
He is playing tonight. A really bizarre looking person.
Really?
And his music goes along right there.
Really?
I'm serious. So anyone who's into weird sensations.
Yeah. Is he funny?
No, he's not funny. He's actually very, very serious.
Yeah.
He is originally from Russia. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, he is Russian.
Right.
But just his whole look and everything like that, it's like coming out of sci-fi. I'm serious. I mean, it makes for an interesting entertainment.
Really?
I've seen him once and I got an email today. It's like, oh my God, he's playing again. I got to check him out again.
Yeah.
Because he was just so weird.
So it's like watching a train wreck pretty much. That's what
actually, you know what it reminds me of? Kind of like, you know, David Bowie when he was started out and he was like dressed all weird and makeup and
Ziggy Stardust.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was that kind of, it's that same persona with the weird music along with it.
Okay.
So
all right. Well, we'll try and catch
that's what I'm going to do tonight.
Sounds good. Aren't you working tonight or after work again?
No, after work. They go on at like 10 o'clock.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. How's work?
Well, I was there until like 9:30 last night.
Yeah.
So
do you like
it?
I mean, is it okay? Do you look forward to going or is it just something that you have to do?
No, actually, it's not something that I go like, oh, God, I got to go into work. No, definitely, that hasn't come
not
by
at this
yet.
Point
not
yet.
At this point. I'm just enjoying that I get a nice, you know, a reasonably nice paycheck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
a good motivator,
But also, I mean, I have my own thing going on up there.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, I got permission to go ahead and put together a flyer. And so we have the Waffle Restaurant, which is at 6255 West Sunset Boulevard. But we're also the bar upstairs, which is where I work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rename that, you know, and you know, to get known as the Waffle Lounge because it is a lounge atmosphere up there.
I see. I thought you would say like the Manu Lounge or something.
No. The Waffle Lounge.
Okay.
Because a lot of people
good.
Don't know that there's a bar upstairs.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I mean, it's a really cool vibe. I mean, it's loungy and nice and cozy.
Yeah.
But you can also have the full menu upstairs as well.
Oh, nice.
So that makes it even more of a bonus.
Yeah. So you never work weekends, right?
No.
But you work Friday nights.
I work, well, sometimes Friday nights.
Okay.
But I also work with the Dealer Dolls on the weekends as well if they've got events.
Right. So, no, I'm trying to find out when you'll be there when we come to eat. You know, so Friday night would be good?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we'll come Friday night to get to eat. So, you'll tell me where it is and everything and we'll surprise you.
Woohoo. Yeah, why not?
Oh, man, what a great, great life. You know, I mean, I'm just like feeling great.
Me too.
I got an extra hour of sleep, so now I got 6 hours.
Has it made a difference? Even just that 1 hour, doesn't it?
It makes a difference. It makes
just
a big difference.
Just that 1 hour.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. I just pretty much crashed, you know. I mean, I had to keep my eyes open to finish some work, and then I went to bed, you know.
Just
and
passed out.
I was so out of it, and my wife had gone out to dinner with my sister-in-law. And they went, but when she came back, that was after I'd gone to sleep. I don't even remember her coming in, and she said, "Oh, I hugged you so hard and stuff. You didn't hear?" I'm like, "No, I was out."
Really?
I was so out of it.
You did. You know what? Tiger's the same way.
Yeah.
Like I'm serious. I came home. She was asleep, and I was being all quiet and everything like that, but I was starving, so I decided to cook something, then I was washing dishes, and then Will came down, and then we were drinking wine and talking and so on. She didn't hear a damn
really?
Thing. She didn't even hear the door open, nothing. She didn't hear me feeding the cat, nothing.
Yeah.
She's the same way. She just passes out.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's not fair.
No, it's not fair, you know.
I'm such a light sleeper.
And then apparently I sleep like really, like all over the bed, you know.
You?
We got like a queen size bed, you know. I don't know why we ever settled for that, you know. Well, it was my wife's bed before we got married, but it's not, you know. I mean, so when I sleep, she's like, you're pushing me all the way off the bed, you know. She gets me like wakes me up and pushes me to my side. So, and I sleep like diagonally sometimes, and I guess I just get really wild while I'm sleeping. So I told her, I said, let's just get a fucking California king, you know, and then I won't get as far as your son.
Yeah, yeah.
So
then
that's
you can,
funny,
then you
know?
Can use it as a playpen.
Yeah.
But you know, I was talking about beds yesterday to one of our customers upstairs, and he has, you know, he was saying that he goes to bed and he is out within minutes, and he does not get up. I mean, he sleeps so solid.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
He says, I have the most comfortable bed ever. Ever since I've gotten this bed, I have never slept so well in my life and blah, blah, blah.
Really?
And he's going on about this bed, right? I said,
so
don't tell me.
So you start to think that maybe it's the bed?
Yeah, so don't tell me. And I said, it's a Tempur-Pedic, isn't it? And he said, yes, it is.
Wow.
I'm like, God. Darn it. I knew it. I knew it. So
really?
That's what I need.
Yes.
A Tempur-Pedic bed.
And what's that?
You know, the Tempur-Pedic bed, it's like that...
I mean, how is the mattress
kinda
different?
Kind of like NASA foam. Well, because it has a memory foam, so your body just fits into the bed in its natural alignment.
Right.
So you're not getting, you know, like sore spots or twisting of bones or something like that. And you just sink in and you move less and you get less pain, way less pain when you wake up.
Pain? I mean, I've never woke up with pain. I mean,
other than
headaches and stuff.
Oh, God, I wake up
really?
With pain all the time.
Then you better change
that's
your
why,
mattress.
That's why I don't sleep well.
But apparently. But, you know, the thing is you should probably get, I mean, even if you just got a good normal mattress, it'd still be better.
No, I have a good normal mattress.
But you're saying, but obviously it's not. If you're getting up with
pain,
it's not normal.
I paid freaking $600 for my bloody
bed. But it's not normal.
2 years ago.
Yeah. God, well, you know, you never know. I mean, look, my wife went and got us a new couch, right?
Mm-hmm.
They send it in. It was like custom couch and everything. She hates it, and I do too. But I wouldn't say a word, you know. She picked it. I'm keeping my mouth shut. But she's the one complaining about it all the time.
Right.
So. You never know. The price is not an indicator of how comfortable it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it was the, I care. It's, you know, the normal, you know, baby on the cloud kind of bed or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever that, you know, line is. Uh-huh. I don't know. But it felt comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, when I tested it out.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny, those rooms, you know, full of beds?
Yeah.
And everyone runs around and jumps in
the
bed. And
jumps on them and stuff.
And
I know.
Bounces around and bounces up and...
I know. Did you ever see that there was a video clip of these people and they were jumping on the bed and the bed broke?
And the bed broke.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was a prank that they pulled on them in the bed store. And I just, when I was going through YouTube, I saw that there. But it's not very good for radio, obviously.
No.
You know, you can't see it. But
no. And
they just like start jumping on the bed or like, you know how they don't really jump, but they just kind of fall on the mattress and then the whole freaking thing falls apart.
You know, and you know what the other funny one that I've seen is, of course, there's always the waterbeds. The waterbeds are still always going to be around.
Yeah.
And they did the similar prank. And it looked like a normal bed.
Right.
You know, they had set it up where they had the sheet over or the cover over.
Right.
But if someone laid down on it,
right,
you landed in a pool of water.
There was like no mattress at all.
No.
Yeah, that's the one I think I saw.
Oh, my God,
that
was funny.
I know. But it is funny how people go and they start lying on the mattresses and shit, you know, in the store.
Oh, my gosh. No, I remember once, just a long, long time ago, I did sleep on a Tempur-Pedic, and, oh, my gosh, that mattress is so heaven.
Really?
Yeah. You should go into a store.
How much would that cost?
I don't I think they're kind of pricey. Well, when they first came out, they were extremely ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about now. Maybe they've, you know, like, you know how always when it's the first thing out, right, they whack on a price ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now it's probably a little bit more reasonable.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's certainly more expensive than your conventional mattress. But it lasts a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And look, I mean, if it's going to help you sleep, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's crazy not to sleep.
Mm.
You know, I mean, this guest that the Broads had last night from Broad Topics, she overheard me talking to one of them about not sleeping enough, and she starts in with this whole thing, like, you know, you can gain weight and you can do this and that will happen to you, and she started scaring me, you know.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so I need some more sleep, definitely, you know, but I'm tired of talking about it. So did you hear that Elliot Spitzer's?
Oh no!
Yeah, the escort. Okay, the hooker.
The good-looking thing.
Yeah, she had already a video of her surfaced that she had done Girls Gone Wild. You know
what?
That series?
Yeah.
Okay. Where they go to Florida and they find all these young girls and
they do things crazy.
Yeah, and you know,
you notice
show
they're always
boobs.
White girls. There's always the white girls that want to show their tits.
I guess that's what the market wants, you know. So
no, they're just stupid. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, so they said apparently she had made this video when she was 18. So you know, so she's like, she's not getting $1 million now. This is theirs,
what?
You know. No, I mean, it's like they're saying that he was going to offer her like $1 million or something. And then he found a video in their archives. So now he doesn't have to pay her $1 million to have her video.
Who, Spitzer?
No, Spitzer's escort.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you're talking
about... Oh, no. The guy that runs Girls Gone Wild. I'm sorry. I didn't explain. His name is Joe Francis. He sat in jail also.
Ah, okay. All right.
But, yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't clear about that. So, yeah.
So he doesn't have to pay her $1 million anymore.
No. Yeah, because now he's got her. You know, he did.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice, huh? So... I mean, you see, that's the thing, Manu, is that everything you do could come back to haunt you one day.
Oh, shit.
You know? I know. Well, look, you've done nudity in films, but then a lot of big actresses have
too.
Oh,
no. I mean...
That's not what you're worried about?
Nah, not at all.
Okay.
No. But there's no videos of me out there.
No.
If you know what I mean.
Good.
Definitely
no. No sex videos or anything.
No.
Yeah, now why would people even videotape themselves fucking? I mean,
no,
I still can't get over it.
I'll tell you why. Because most women who enter relationships, right? They all get caught up and the guy's like, let's make a video. But they're not foreseeing the fact that they could break up, a really ugly breakup, and then he gets all pissed and puts it out on the internet.
Now, why would he want to take a video?
Oh, because that's what men want.
No, I don't. I mean, I would never do it.
Well, then you're one of them.
I mean, most of the men I know would not do it.
Well,
I mean, what's
me.
The point? But you know what? I'm starting to think that maybe it's the same thing as us doing the show and then us listening to the show later. You know, it's like, you know, they're able to watch themselves rather than, you know, when they're not participating.
You know what? If I was a guy, there's no way I'd want to see myself fucking another woman.
Yeah, well, maybe...
Because I don't think I'd enjoy, the ball bag going back and forth or something like that.
Well, but you know what? I don't think there's such close-ups, you know, because usually you take your video and the camera just sits on the tripod. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the balls dangling. Yes.
I know. That's terrible view.
Yeah, it is a terrible view.
Even in porn movies, it's terrible.
I know, it's disgusting. You know, seeing a guy fucking from behind.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. But a woman in that position? Forget about it, man. I'll take it. Doggy style position.
Oh, watch out, Sam.
I'll take that.
The desk is moving.
Yeah, it's rising by itself like The Exorcist.
Well, that's mighty strong there.
Yeah. I don't know what, man. I'm just fascinated by pussy. Ever since I remember myself, I don't know what it is, but...
Oh, God.
I'll take it in any position, in any angle, attached to just about anyone.
Yeah, oh, my God.
You see how pathetic men are. I mean, and that's what nature did to us, you know. It's like all this testosterone, and then you see pussy, and you lose your mind.
Oh, Sam, you wouldn't want to go back to Vegas right now, then.
Why, what's there?
Oh, you see it all over there.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
No, that's the crazy thing about Vegas, yeah. Right? It's supposed to be family-orientated now.
They're well, not anymore. No, I mean, they've made it obvious it's not anymore.
But
they've
no,
tried
but
that
it's
in
not.
The 80s, 90s.
No, they're still trying to do it, you know? Like
not really, Manu. I was reading specifically about it. I mean, think
oh,
of the advertising
so,
slogan, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Sin City, all this kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but this is like, you know, a recent
right.
slogan that they came
then,
up with.
Then the families who are bringing their children to Vegas
yeah.
need a slap over the bloody head. Because there are some very explicit billboards out there, and everything out there is about sex and nudity, and every woman that you come across has got fake tits, fake everything. I mean, I'm talking about it's really, wow, crazy.
Yeah.
At the Hard Rock Hotel. They have a day called Sunday Rehab. They just call it Rehab.
Right.
And it's the biggest pool party in the nation, you could say, every Sunday
mm-hmm.
during the summer months. And it got to a point where the hotel has advised families not to bring their children down to the pool on the Sunday.
Really?
Yes, because there's naked bodies everywhere.
Really? Like topless and stuff?
Topless, big boobs, G-strings. I mean, it's some stuff that you just don't want your children being around.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of young crazy MFs out there.
Yeah. I know.
We used to see them walk through the casino, like yeah. to go to the pool. Like, oh, shit, look at that one.
Yeah.
You couldn't believe it.
I know. When I lived in Vegas, it wasn't as bad, but it always had that side to it, you know. Except back then in the 70s, there was just like a seedy area where all the clubs were, you know. It wasn't
right.
really integrated. Now you have all the strip joints right next to the hotels and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah,
and the
so
hotels have
it's definitely
these,
not a place for kids.
The hotels have, you know, like all these nightclubs and so on.
Yeah.
I mean, it is certainly your 20s and 30s, you know, city now for all that behavior.
Yeah, yeah. But let me tell you something. In Vegas, you can get very lonely. You know, it's because it's a...
Oh, I know that.
It's a transient town. You know, yeah. people come in and they leave. You know, like one sign of that is many apartments in Vegas are rented furnished. You know,
yeah,
for people
that
just come in and then they leave.
Yeah.
You know, in other cities, you don't have that. You know, you very seldom find a furnished apartment.
Yeah.
So in Vegas, people come and they leave. You know, how long were you there?
I was there for 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, two
wow.
years. And I was pretty lonely.
Yeah.
I was very lonely.
It is. You know, when I lived there, you know, and I did have friends, but it's like, it's just there's a disconnect in that town.
Yeah.
You know? And, but, you know, I mean, I did my teenage years there,
mm-hmm.
you know, about 5 years from the age of 16 till I was 20, 21.
Yeah.
And it was different then. It was really different. But still, it had that, you know, and Vegas was more sparse then than it is now. Now it's very congested.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back then you really felt it even physically that you were distant from other people. But it's almost like a soulless town, you know. It doesn't really have anything. No history, no culture, you know, it's just like a place to do one thing, and that is to gamble and to get laid, you know.
Yeah,
so two
and that's
things.
True, okay. And get drunk.
Yeah,
violent,
get drunk,
you know, like
yeah.
sickly drunk.
I know.
You know, it's also one of the highest, a regular player that used to come and play at my table every single morning.
Mm-hmm. In the morning, huh?
Yeah, in the morning,
how
yeah.
the hell can people do that?
I don't know. I really don't know. And but he was a pharmacist, or he worked in a pharmacist where they did testings, you know, STD testings. He worked
right.
in a lab mm-hmm. and so on. And he said he's just one of many labs,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they every single day they are testing stuff that are HIV positive, syphilis, gonorrhea, you name it, it's all over. And he said the number one disease or, you know, STD that mm-hmm. they're encountering in Vegas,
yeah.
the number one is chlamydia.
Really?
Chlamydia.
So it's probably like running rampant in the town.
It's
huh?
extreme. And then the second one behind that is AIDS.
Really? Yeah.
So don't be going to Vegas without a hell of a, you know, strong protection, man, because you're going to be screwed.
Like a double condom or something.
Bloody oath. You can't. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm serious. And that's why I never messed around in Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I mean, it's one of those places.
It's a little scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I mean, the gambling is a big problem there. You know, if you notice now that you go to casinos, they have signs for Gamblers Anonymous in, in rehab places, you know. And, it says, like, gambling problem, you know.
Well, every casino has to have a flyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, which is understandable, you know, but it's not like it's going to help anybody. But I remember when I lived there, I had a neighbor who was a good friend. And he was a car salesman or something, so he would get paid every week or 2 weeks. Every time that he got paid, he would stop at a casino and get home with nothing.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And then I had another friend that was the same thing, and this guy would, like, play the roulette, and he would be, I mean, when you saw him play, he was, like, in another world, in another state of consciousness altogether.
Oh, I see.
You couldn't talk to him. I mean, no. I would try and tell him, look, you're up. Why don't we just leave?
No. Just one more. Yeah. I know I can make 500,000.
Yeah,
more.
I know which number is going to come up.
And I
next.
Know, I know, I know the system. I'm going to beat the system.
Yeah.
What fucking idiots.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
The thing is,
I saw this every day. That's why I died there.
Yeah.
I
if
really
the casinos
like
hadn't
died.
Been winning every time,
there wouldn't be
any casinos. There you go. You know, and people don't even think about that.
No.
You know,
no.
You know that I've never, and I lived in Vegas twice for a total of about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And I never gambled, never left a quarter in a casino.
Well, I've left 20 bucks.
Yeah, but gambling is just, I feel sorry for people that are hooked on gambling. Because
it's very sad.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, look, if like other addictions, if you smoke, if you drink, you know, that can ruin your life eventually. It takes a while for you to really start fucking up your life. But with gambling, it's immediate, you know. You have money, then you don't. You go back home to your family, you don't have any money to pay the fucking bills.
You can't pay the bill, you can't pay the rent. That's what I was dealing with my house in Vegas. These people would come into town. They would have excellent credit or a good history or so on, right? Mm-hmm. And then within 6 months, less than 6 months of living in that place.
So you were renting
boom,
it out?
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was renting out my house.
I see.
I tried 4 freaking times.
Really?
Yes.
And they all fucked you.
They all fucked me.
Really?
Over. Yeah.
Jeez.
Within 3 months. Sorry, I just, you know, I don't have the rent right now. You know, I'm gonna get paid.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get paid. Yeah. You know, and in the back of my mind, I already know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, but you're lucky to be able to have been able to get them out of there. Because, you know, I don't know how the law is in Nevada, but in California, you can't throw them out. They have about 6 fucking months to still be able to live
it's
there.
It's the same thing with, Las Vegas too.
Yeah.
But,
you see,
you know,
the fucking perpetrators are always the ones that are given the break. You know? It's like, fuck the victims, you know?
Yeah.
Let's protect the people that are doing
the crimes. My last renters stayed in my house for 3 months free.
Yeah, yeah.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And you're lucky they
didn't stay for another 3 months.
And they broke shit. They put holes in the wall because he was an asshole and so on and broke my garage door. I mean, it was just never ending.
Yeah.
But the first renters that I had, oh boy, I mean it was just horrific. I just broke down and cried my ass off.
Really?
Because they had just destroyed my home so bad.
Yeah.
I was just devastated.
Ah,
I never fully recovered from that.
Yeah.
So from then on, I couldn't really get a hold of things again.
Did you get any security deposits so you could fix up the place if they mess it up?
Yeah, but by the time that, you know, by the time they're not paying rent, then I'm using that.
You're still behind.
To pay, you know, the mortgage.
Right.
You know, so either way, I got screwed over.
Hmm.
But anyway, enough of that too. Now I'm going into foreclosure.
Yeah.
Woohoo! But I found out yesterday that in Vegas, right, because Vegas is the number one now for foreclosures, and it has been, it's been leading for a long time now, and Florida is second, right behind, yes. Mm-hmm. Vegas right now, there are 300 foreclosure notices being sent out every single day.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
Jeez.
Is that horrific or what?
That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't want
that is scary.
Wouldn't want to be a lender in Vegas right now.
No, no. Looking up, because I was talking to a realtor yesterday with regards to my house, and now they want me to reduce my house to $150,000. That is half. That is less than half of what I originally paid for my house.
Yeah. Well, can't you just sit on it, keep renting it?
Oh, no,
it's in
it's gone.
Foreclosure because you couldn't pay it.
No, I couldn't pay it. I can't pay it. Even renting. You can't get the houses rented out anymore.
Right.
To even cover a bit
of
your mortgage.
Yeah, or if you do, it'll be less than the mortgage.
Oh, way less.
Yeah.
Way less. My last renters, I was already forking out $450 to $500 a month.
Whoa.
Just to keep it afloat.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money that was coming out of my pocket.
I know. And rent in Vegas is not very high.
No, not at all now. Once upon a time, it was. I mean, well, it was reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, because all these homes came up on the market,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was just doing anything just to have a little bit of income coming in on the house, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were having, like, beautiful, you know, 2,000 square foot homes, or if not more, 3,000 square foot homes being rented out for $800 a month.
Wow.
So, hey.
Hey.
If you want cheap rent, go to Vegas. Hey. Sounds like a bonus for me.
Yeah.
Hey, you could almost save money. Go rent out a place in Vegas, have a nice big home, mm-hmm. new home, whatever.
Yeah.
Travel to California every day. Oh, shit, the gas. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And it only takes 5 hours each way. Yeah, but I don't know. I have no attraction to Vegas anymore. I have no desire.
No, neither do I.
No desire to go visit there anymore. I mean, I go maybe once a year, just if somebody comes to visit, or
yeah.
you know. But it's not my first or second or third choice of where to, of destination.
No, you know what place I'd love to go is Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's there?
I don't know. I just for some reason, you know, just. The word Savannah and Georgia, and I understand that it's like, a really beautiful country,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, I picture like old Victorian houses and, you know,
yes.
and things like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And you got
like Gone with the Wind type of a thing.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know, it just seems like a really cool place to go and visit, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well. And I don't know. Savannah, Georgia is not the one that would pop up in my mind.
And the old Southern gals, you know.
Uh-huh.
My daddy called me Jesse Jane, whatever, you know.
Jesse Jane, that's good. But, in the South, they have those kind of names. Billy Bob.
Annabelle.
John Boy.
Jim Bob.
I don't know where
Lucy
they get these
Lou.
Names. So we have a guest today, and that should be interesting. This has to do with a modeling agency.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you see, I'm giving you a little preview today because I know you get pissed when you don't know what to expect.
No, actually, you know, I was thinking about this whole aspect as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, one way to try and help promote, right? You mention something, and then you kind of like start, what do they call it, tagging?
A teaser?
Teaser,
uh-huh.
you
a
know?
Teaser.
So we can start like, well, tomorrow we've got this guest, and they're
right.
from such and such, such and such.
That's
so you
true.
Can already put out there, you know, like little teasers, like,
yeah.
oh, we got to listen in tomorrow because such and such might be on, or something
yeah.
like that,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, and in fact, what I'm thinking is adding a section on the site for upcoming guests.
Woohoo!
For every show that has a guest. You know,
I think that would be a really great idea.
Yeah, I do.
You know what I really do?
I agree.
Because then it starts getting people's mind, particularly those who haven't quite, they've gone to the site, but they haven't quite listened to any shows.
Yeah, right.
And so if you have those teasers, then they go like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, look who they've got coming in. Mm. So we'll start listening and see what's going on, right?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yep. And, you know, from our stats, people are spending a lot of time both returning to the site and spending time on the site.
Yes.
You know, obviously,
there's a lot listening. Of stuff going on now.
Yeah, you know, and they're listening, you know.
Yeah.
So, and those are like, I mean, we have some unbelievable stats, you know, for our website.
Yes.
That is enviable, you know, for, because I've done a lot of websites in my life, you know, and
yeah.
I've seen stats for sites, and ours is just amazing, you know. I mean, people come and they stay, and when they stay a long time.
Right.
And then a lot of people are returning.
Yes.
You know, like 2/3 of our traffic is people that keep returning to the site.
Oh, really?
You know,
how do you know that? Is it from what do you call that thing? IP? No.
The thing is that there's a program. Every server has a program that keeps a log of every person that comes into the site and what they do on the site, came to the site from, and, what country they're from. I mean, you can find out so many different things.
Oh, wow. You're getting a few from Australia?
Yeah. Yeah, there's awesome. Australia there, too.
Yay.
Of course.
Actually,
but the amazing thing is we get some from Japan and Korea and shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So,
and Ireland.
Yeah.
And Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Canada a lot. So, yeah, we have listeners everywhere, you know, and I mean the whole station, not just us, obviously.
Yes.
And, so a lot of people are returning, so you know that you're doing something right, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can tell. It tells you that, you know, this number of users came, either from a bookmark or directly typing in the name, bbstalkradio.com.
Right.
You know, not necessarily from a referral. They didn't. So these people did not come from search engines or links of other sites. These are people that come directly to the site. You know, and so that's like a third of all our traffic is like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, you know. Last month we had about 12,000 visitors to the site.
Wow.
The first month.
That's not bad, first month.
February was the first month.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a full month. We started on the 4th.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And it was a short month, right? Only 29 days. And we got that many visitors every day. So I mean, for the whole month.
Yes.
And this month, it looks like it's going to be a lot higher than that.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're heading in the right direction.
I spoke with Greta King-Smith yesterday, mm-hmm. again.
Uh-huh.
Wanted to thank her for coming in and having a blast,
uh-huh.
and so on. And so on her site, on blacksmithrecords.org,
uh-huh.
she's also going to be placing our link on their website so people can go to our site.
Right, yeah. And that's what a lot of people are doing.
Yes.
That's why we get links from everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, places we don't even know.
Yes.
So it's really awesome. You know,
she's doing us a favor as well.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Some companies would pay money to have links coming to them because Google ranks you based on how many sites are linking to you and how reliable they are to figure out how important you are. You know, so so that's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can buy links to your site, but it costs money, and you get lost among, like, you know, I mean, a place that sells links is going to have, like, tens of thousands of sites on there.
Right.
So you get lost. And we ain't lost, man. We ain't lost. But let's take a little break, a music break, because we have a guest coming in a little bit. But in the meantime, we can just play something and
and I can go use the tooties.
The tooties?
Yeah.
Go use it.
For everything that matters.
I'm not European. I don't plan on being European. So who gives a crap if they're socialists? They could be fascist anarchists. It still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car.
And everything that doesn't.
I've been in prison for 3 years. My dick gets hard after wind blows.
You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show on BBS Talk Radio.
Well, did you go pee-pee?
Oh, yeah, it was a long one. That's why it took so long.
Okay, good. Well, we had a song, and I tried to stretch it as much as possible.
Manu was MIA.
Yeah. You know, you know what has been happening lately in the men's room? As I go in, and there's paper towels, you know, used paper towels on the floor.
Oh, now on the floor?
Now they're on the fucking floor. Okay.
What's going on there?
Let me tell you what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. People are using the paper to open the door so they don't have to touch the handle, and then they just dump it on the floor. You know?
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, because it's around the door. And some of them are a little farther where people just toss it. But I'm telling you, and this really fucking irritates me, you know, because why? I mean, these are grown people, and they expect other people to pick up after them. I mean, you know what? He knows the paper is not going to stay there.
No.
Somebody's going to pick it up. So for you to to be so thoughtless and just throw it on the floor and let the bathroom look messy and have somebody else pick it up for you. If I found the motherfucker, I would bitch slap him a couple times, you know, and make him fucking lick the floor, motherfucker.
I love it how you get all ringed up on something you're so passionate about.
I do, you know. And I mean, sometimes it's small things. I used to be a lot worse, you know. I used to be like, I gave no priorities to things. So the smallest thing would be like I would explode, just like if the world was coming to an end.
But, you know, we deal with similar things in the ladies' bathroom.
Hmm.
I mean, we get, like toilet paper on the floor. Or we get footprints that are on the seats, you know, particularly the places where you have to actually use the handle.
Right.
You know what I mean? We've got people using their feet because they don't want to touch anything.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. They'll use a seat cover to open up the door latch, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, for freak's sake, you just, like, did a piss.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with opening up the door? Yeah. You're going to wash your hands anyways. But I have seen women who grab the towels and they open up, turn on the taps, turn off the taps with the towels, and
it's just gross.
It's like, come
you
on,
know, where
people?
The fuck people come from, you know? And
well, it's not so much gross, but like, get over it. I mean, like, as if you're gonna get a disease from handling, you know, a door handle.
Yeah.
Or something
well, you know
like
what?
That.
The thing is that I don't like opening doors either in public places for the same reason. But you know what I do is I'll take a paper towel and I'll open the handle. Now, usually most bathrooms smartly will have a trash can right by the door.
Yes.
So you can open the door, hold it with your foot, get rid of the paper towel and exit.
Yes.
You know, but so that's what I do. And if there isn't a trash can there and I want to open the door that way, I will. And I'll take the paper towel with me and throw it away somewhere.
Yes.
You know, but so, you know, there's always ways, but this is totally childish behavior. I mean, that's what kids do. They drop something right where they stand, you know, and this is the same thing. It's like, here, let me fucking throw it on the floor. Let somebody else worry about
it. Yeah. Well, that's just like that time that I went into the bathroom and I was brutally shocked that a woman, you know, had an issue with her with her monthlies, and it was all over the place.
Oh my God. Was there like blood and stuff too?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, all
like
over
a bloody tampon and shit?
No. We're talking about all over the seat and floor.
Oh my
and it's
God.
Just like, oh my God.
How disgusting. And it's not it's totally not sanitary.
No.
You know,
no,
I mean you
no.
can fucking get disease from contaminated blood.
Yeah, I know. You know, so it's like ugh. And this is supposed to be a professional building.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
That wasn't a really
thing.
Good topic.
No, I mean, yeah, but people don't have any fucking class, you know? They just do whatever they want and the hell with everybody else, you know?
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
So what's in the news, Manu? Have you picked up some things? I know there's a couple of interesting things that happened. First of all, you remember Arthur C. Clarke? Does the name ring a bell to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. He was the director of 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay, yes.
You remember that movie?
Yes.
Okay. Now, most people didn't even understand what the fuck went on in that movie, including myself, you know? But but regardless, it was an event that's happened in movies that defined all the science fiction that came after that.
Right.
You know, I mean, think about it. This happened like when there was no Star Wars, you know, this was 1968 for crying out loud, you know, and he really had a vision for a movie that became such a classic, you know. Now, if I remember, a few days ago or a couple weeks ago, we went over movies that were stiffed by the Academy that did not get Oscars. And if I recall, 2001 was one of those movies.
Right.
You know, and for being such an important movie and an influential movie, it's very interesting that it didn't win. But remember, I mean, the movie starts with those Neanderthals and that slab, the monolith comes down, and they see this monolith, which is like this big slab that you don't understand what it is.
Right.
And it keeps staying throughout the movie. It keeps appearing. And but yeah, I mean, it's a fucking weird movie. You know, it really is weird.
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember. Obviously, it didn't grab my attention right away.
Yeah.
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 So.
But it was definitely, you know, a step in the right direction as far as science fiction goes. You know,
wow.
It was definitely a visionary. And so he died. So the reason I brought him up is he passed away, Arthur C. Clarke. I'm sure not many people know of him, but I thought I'd bring up the 2001 since it was such an important event, I think. You know, in the
history of
movies.
Did he die yesterday?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was pretty old.
How old? He must have been old.
90. He was 90.
Wow. Yeah. He had a hell of a life, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I guess, you know what they're saying? It was, the bottom line is it's true because the movie envisioned is computers taking over. If you remember, there was a part in the spaceship later on with a computer called Hal. And he started,
controlling things, right?
Yeah, the astronauts were talking to him and everything.
Yes.
And, but eventually he started taking on, more power.
Right.
And then he was controlling them.
Then
you know,
he started controlling.
Yeah,
yes.
He would lock the doors. They couldn't go anywhere and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, he became a very resentful computer.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, which is artificial intelligence.
Yes.
That's what you call when computers learn on their own.
Right.
You know, and, so, this happened, and so the computer took over, and they were just at its mercy. So this was sort of like a prophecy, you know, for artificial intelligence and how it can really affect the, you know. And there's been a lot of movies about machines taking the world, you know, most notably The Matrix.
But and The Terminator.
The Terminator.
You got those guys.
Yeah, that's true. The machines. So, yeah, apparently we are afraid of that. And it makes me wonder because it's not so out there. You know, that machines will be able to take over. I mean, right now machines run things on their own.
Yeah.
You know?
And then we're going to have aliens come down and take over.
Oh, there you go again with the fucking aliens. Enough with the aliens already.
Hey, you know what I was watching yesterday at work?
Yeah.
I was watching the original movie, you know, by, what's his name? Orwell? The director, writer, Orwell?
Orwell.
Yes. War of the Worlds. The original film.
Oh, well, he was a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's not Orwell, is it?
Yeah. And he also did, 1984.
Oh, the 1984. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. It was Orwell. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I watched the original film for Wars of the World.
Really?
It was kind of, you know, I mean, obviously you could tell it.
It was very fake and funny.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
It was really a classic. But
yeah,
still, it was like, wow, check that out.
I know. I read the book a long time ago. And are you aware of the thing that happened with Orson Welles and War of the Worlds?
Oh, Orson Welles. That's
yes,
what I mean.
Yes, Orson Welles.
But
Orson Welles did not write it.
No, he was the director. No, producing? No.
No. Okay, there was... I don't think George Orwell wrote War of the Worlds. He wrote 1984.
Oh,
I don't know if War of the Worlds... No, War of the Worlds, I think, is by H.G. Wells or something. One of these, science fiction writers.
Right, right.
So, but Orson Welles, if you remember him, he was this heavyset actor. He was in the movie Citizen Kane.
Okay,
this classic.
Okay.
He was in that. Then he had he had commercials like in the 70s saying, like for a wine, he's like, we will sell no wine before it's time. You know, something like that. And he was known for that as well. But what he did is, and this was before the movie came out, War of the Worlds, people were listening to radio. There was no television at the time.
Oh, I know. And then, War of the Worlds was being telecasted via the radio.
Exactly.
And America went into this big freaking panic.
Exactly.
Right? Like, oh my God, we're being attacked.
Yeah. They were simulating an attack by aliens on the radio. And obviously people were not that sophisticated yet. You know, there was no television, no special effects, you know, none of this stuff.
Yeah.
And people fell for this.
I know.
You know?
I know.
And it's such a...
And then they had to make a very special announcement that, like, this is not true.
Yeah, don't panic. Know? People because ran people, out to the streets
yeah,
and shit.
Yeah, people were panicking.
Yeah. That was funny. I mean, today, obviously, you couldn't do something
dumbass
like that.
Dumbass people. God.
Well, the world was a lot more innocent then, you know?
I know, but really we did, you know, apparently, and this actually came up because, you know, a few of us was looking at that, and then we came up with that. Like, oh, remember when it was being telecasted, you know, or through the radio?
Right.
And one of our managers is from France.
Uh-huh.
And she said, yeah, I mean, the biggest news was the Americans were going crazy and, and it went into panic. And here we are in France going like, bloody idiots. And I think it was the same deal in Australia.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's bullshit. I'd like him to see. That was a French person?
Yeah.
A friend?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say fuck the French. But well, still fuck the French. Okay, except for your friend. So we have one more thing before we're going to take another quick break so we can bring our guest in. Hopefully
yes.
She's already here. Vicky Van Meter, I'm sure the name doesn't say anything to you, but in the 1990s, this girl was 11, okay,
mm-hmm.
and she crossed from the U.S. to Europe in an airplane.
Oh, was it the first? Oh, okay,
at the age of 12.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, actually she went piloting, okay, across the United States, she did when she was 11. Then she crossed the Atlantic when she was 12.
Wow.
Okay, so she made obviously history and big name for herself.
Yes.
Today, she's 22.
Yes.
And she's 26 and she committed suicide.
What?
No, she just died apparently of self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean,
what?
Yeah. Well, you see, this is why I bring it up. Because, I mean, look, there's somebody here who has achieved records, world records, you know. Seemingly, their whole life is ahead of them and a good life at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kill themselves, you know. And that's why I'm telling you, there are so many tortured souls out there. You know, people that are not diagnosed with depression, with bipolar, any other mental illness. This is what it comes from.
I think
normally people that get depressed or blue or down do not commit suicide because it's a temporary thing.
Yeah.
But you know, when you have a mental illness and you're not treated, it's something that stays with you all the time, every day, 24 hours a day. And when your thoughts are fucked, you're going to do a lot of weird things.
You also think because she was so young and did this, you know, miraculous tour, you know, flight uh-huh. across the United States,
right?
And then at 12 years old, she's going across the Atlantic. Now, you can't possibly think that just she in her own mind is trying to achieve this. Do you think it's partly her family that's pushing her to achieve these things?
Possibly, but not necessarily. I mean, let me tell you something. When I was her age, 10, 11, 12, I already started like having such a great interest in airplanes.
Yeah.
I just loved them, you know. I would read magazines that talk about the Israeli Air Force and all the new jets, jet fighters and things like that. I was fascinated by that
all
stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And so airplanes can be fascinating to kids.
Yeah.
And if I had the chance to do that, I would have done that too. The bottom line, I don't think this had anything to do with it.
Right.
You know, I mean, she flew, she became famous, all that. And if she hadn't flown, nobody would have known that she killed herself. But now, she was famous for a while. You know?
Right.
But it's just, it pains you, you know, to see people.
So she was famous for a while, and then she just disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, apparently yesterday she committed suicide. Yeah, I mean, yeah, nobody really talked about her, you know. Maybe she was in the Guinness Book of World Records, which... it doesn't say anything about that, but and that was in 1993-94 that she made those flights.
Hmm.
She earned a degree in criminal justice in Pennsylvania, spent 2 years with the Peace Corps, and so she seemed okay. And then she her daughter began applying that's her mother saying that she applied to graduate school to study psychology. And you see, there again, you see, this kind of reinforces what I say. People that are interested in psychology and psychiatry are people that are actually have gone through this shit.
Yeah.
You know, and then they want to help other people.
Yes.
Somebody, you know, yesterday, let me bring this up. Yesterday, I was listening to Johnny Dam's show, and he was here with Stephanie, and they brought up the fact that someone was depressed, and I don't know if they killed themselves, I don't remember, but they were talking about depression.
Yeah.
And Johnny said, you know, he said, I don't understand depression. You know, if you're down for, you feel down for a couple of days and that, you know, you should just get right back up. But you see, that's not the same depression. When people are depressed, okay.
Oh, I've been there.
That's clinical depression, and that's different from just being blue because you broke up with your boyfriend.
Yeah, no.
You know, you lost your job and something. Yeah, you can be depressed then, but we can't intermix the two terms because clinical depression is a constant thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And I know exactly where that is because I ended up, you know, in therapy for a number of years.
Yeah.
And in hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there is a definite, and you do go to a very dark, dark side of things.
Yeah.
And no matter how things look, you can't see anything positive.
No, because it's like wearing a pair of dark glasses.
Yeah.
And you can see everything only through those glasses. And when you're like that, that's how you view everything about you, about life, about everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like it's completely dark. In fact, Winston Churchill dealt with clinical depression, believe it or not, and he called it the black dog. That's what he called depression.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people have suffered from this. Also, bipolar. Bipolar actually offers even worse depression than merely just being depressed. You know, and so Stephanie seemed to know quite a bit about it because she corrected him on some things that he said, and she also maintained that it is a chemical imbalance because
once
you treat it with medication, you're okay.
If
they find the right medication, it does take a long time.
It took me probably a good 3 months on medication to start feeling something a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but still,
it does take a while for the medication to kick in, too.
But still, you know, you're just your whole heart, everything. You just don't want to get out of bed. You hear something or you see something, you just break down and cry, and you don't understand why you're doing that.
Yeah.
My God, I used to like see a woman. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
I remember being on a subway one day, and this is back in Australia, subway, and I saw this young woman with a baby, and the baby was crying. And the next thing, I broke down in absolute sob, like uncontrollable sobbing. And then all I could say, you know, all I could think about was that baby crying and like how much pain the baby was in. And my God, can the baby feel my pain? And all this kind of, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And you go into a crazy, crazy world.
Yeah.
We need to go and find our guest.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Please stay with us. I'm going to put on a cool song for you and, we'll be right back. So hang in there. This is an awesome song. Did you hear what I was playing?
Yes.
It's called 7 Seconds Away.
Seconds of Waiting.
And it's by a Senegalese singer from Africa called Youssou N'Dour. And he's pretty big around the world.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of great music. And you see, he's got this girl singing with him.
Yeah.
And they're talking about being stuck with the color of skin you're born with. And, you know.
And when you're a baby, you don't understand the color of the skin.
Yeah.
And so on. I mean, it's a great song. I remember listening to this back home.
Yeah.
When I was...
Oh, so you knew this song?
Yeah.
Really?
I knew this song,
because not many people do. But then again, in Australia, you did.
Yeah. It was one of my favorites.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I love this song. It's just like...
And it's so true. It's like... Fumi has the same kind of attachment to this... It's almost to our roots and a political statement, so to speak.
Yeah, I know. And it's nice to be able to hear world music. I mean, there's just so much out there that we never hear, you know.
That's true.
But yeah, this is cool. And we need to listen to more stuff like this, I think, you know. songs that have messages and stuff in them. Yeah. I don't know why my phone keeps ringing all the time. Who the fuck's trying to call me? All the time. I mean, people that know I have a show right now, you know, so I don't understand. But, excuse me. I think we have a phone call. Let's see who's on. Oh, well, let me stop the song. Good morning. You're on the air with Manu and Sam.
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, Manu. It's Gina. How are you?
Oh, it's Gina. Gina. How you doing? You're not calling to say you're going to be late, right?
What?
You're not calling to say you'll be late for your show, right?
No, I'm going late. I'm rushing. But I do want to... I am calling for two reasons. One, because I'm so looking forward to that picnic, our company picnic. And the other thing is that I just want to make sure that you have Marcella's guest name at the front thing, at the counter.
Marcella's name at the front desk.
Marcella's, okay.
Yes.
So it's Marcella?
It's like Fort Knox at that place.
Okay. All right. Marcella is the name, right?
Huh?
Marcella?
Yeah, Marcellus.
Okay.
Reynolds.
Oh, Marcellus. Okay.
Oh, Reynolds right. Marcellus.
Okay. All right.
But no, I'll be there on time, Sam. Are you guys a great show?
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking forward to yours. I love your show. You know, I always replay it for people because it's cool.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So
all
that's
right.
Gina.
Oh, guys, get back to you. Okay. I don't want to interrupt. I'm sorry. All right.
You're not interrupting. You're fine.
No, not
but
at all.
Next time, just call on a landline because the cell phones sound like shit, you know? But
because I'm driving. If I was on a landline, then I really would be late.
No, I know.
Right?
That's right, Gina.
We'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, cool. Okay,
well. See you soon.
Yeah, I'll see you. Bye-bye. Okay, that's Gina Hendricks, who's doing the 11 o'clock show. Love Life Makeovers. I always stumble on those words.
Love Life,
you know.
You know what? Seriously, a lot of people need that.
Yeah.
A Love Life Makeover. Seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have no clue how to have a healthy, happy relationship.
Well, we already know that. Maybe that's why you should come in as a guest on Dr. Michelle's show sometime.
Ooh.
And talk about your commitment issues there.
Oh, my God.
When you're ready to reveal more of yourself. We're already pretty much naked to the whole world. People know everything about us.
You know, it's funny because I still have this fear, like, you know what, I just want to, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that stopped me.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
But it's living in fear, you know? I mean, and that's the thing, you can either live in love or in fear, you know? I mean, there's... You know, but
I guess at my age, I mean, I get so stuck in my own, mm-hmm. you know, pattern of things.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is the way I want it. And I think because, too.
Yeah.
I think.
Hang on a second. I'll tell you why I'm interrupting you, because
okay.
I think this may be the guest, you know.
Because
this person was trying to call me on my cell. So let's see.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air with Manu and Sam. Who's calling?
Hi, Sam. This is Dania Denise.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine.
Well.
Thank you. Okay, so this is our guest that was supposed to call in, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, so that's why the other guest that I thought was coming in is not here. So, Dania, right, is the name?
Dania.
Yeah.
And
Dania,
kind of
where are you calling from, Dania?
I'm calling from San Jose, California.
San Jose.
South Bay Area.
Cool. Oh. Manu, have you been to San Jose?
I have not.
Oh. You know that song, The Way to San Jose? Do people sing it to you sometimes, Dania?
Can't say that I've heard it.
it's by Dionne Warwick. Yeah. Something
really?
Like Show Me the Way to San Jose. Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. You see, so you live in a famous town.
Nice.
Yeah.
You get to be in good company.
Yeah, definitely. Are you going to come down to L.A. to visit us anytime soon?
Oh, you know, it would be such an honor. I would love to do that.
Yeah, I know. That's cool. Dania wrote me a note, and she said she'd like to be on the air as a guest, but she's obviously not in town, so I asked her to just call in, and we'll find out about her. It sounded like she's into interesting stuff. So why don't you tell us, or tell Manu, since I already know, what is the reason for your call? What is it that you'd like to discuss today?
Alrighty. Well, I am putting together a seminar, and it's targeted towards aspiring models, male and female. And I just felt very compelled to do this project. It's very intimate to me just because I am a professional model. I've been doing this for 10 years. I've done Jet Magazine. I came out with my own calendar. I've done interviewing stints, you know, on red carpet events. Mm-hmm. It's been a wonderful journey for me. And, you know, when the whole America's Next Top Model thing became popular, I started to see this change, these young girls, a couple guys, being very fascinated with being models and the whole glitz and glamour, and so many of them were giving such wrong information, on top of already being insecure, you know, for not being 6 foot tall and a size zero, and I just saw so many things wrong with the way this information was being sent out, and I just, you know, I've been there. I'm not 6 foot tall. I'm not blonde. I don't have blue eyes. I don't wear a size 00. you know, not all models look like that, and you don't have to in order to make it. So
no.
I said, you know, let me do something to give back. Let me set up the seminar, invite these people and their parents, because it's very much about making the parents understand, and just saying, you know what, this is how it really is. This is what it takes. And you know what, if you don't make it, it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
No, no. And it's funny you should say something like that, because last year I began on a little journey, like a four-month journey with the next top model, but for women of 35 years and older.
Oh, wow.
And it was the host of the show when it gets running this year. It's for this year. Mm-hmm. Comes out this year. Beverly Johnson. Beverly Johnson is our host.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Yeah. And so I made it to the top 11 girls.
Wow.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And
yeah, and she's no size zero either.
No, I'm not. but but the funny thing about it was that, okay, we are more mature women. And yes, we all had great bodies and so on, and we still look good for our age and so. But the top four that were selected from LA, because there were four from LA, four from Chicago, four from New York and so on, those girls that were chosen were still like size zero, size one, size two women.
Yeah.
And I'm like totally baffled. Now, one of the main reasons I think that I got cut right at the end, because throughout the whole process, I was wearing outfits that didn't reveal my knees, because I have scars on my knees.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar to you, Dania?
You know, I don't have perfect skin. I have eczema. It's been a struggle for me. I know what it's like to, when you're supposed to be quote-unquote perfect. And so I totally relate to where she's coming from on that.
Yeah. And so I ended up standing in front of the judges, you know, and I did a fabulous catwalk and so on, because I've done modeling, you know, despite my knees, you know, the scars. I mean, I've done it. You know, they said, well, tell us something about you that no one else would, you know, could even match up to you. So I told them about my history, where I grew up, when I was in the military. And they asked me, well, so why did you stop the military if that was such a great, you know, adventure for you? And I said, well, I had an accident, and so I ended up going through surgeries and so on to repair my knees, you know, knee reconstructions. And they went, oh, so do you have scars? And it's like, yes. And that's when they asked me, well, could we see them? And I went, shit, you know.
Yeah.
And I showed them, and then immediately I got cut.
Yeah. So now how do you guys pick your models in the agency? This is an agency that you started, right? A modeling agency?
Yeah.
Dania?
I'm sorry?
I said you started a modeling agency, right?
Oh, no, I wish. A lot of people have told me that I should. At this point, I operate a blog called amodelsdiary.blogspot.com, and I basically give a lot of in-depth advice and detail about how to get an agent, the qualifications it takes, and my own personal experiences. I share my own photos from shoots I've done, and I kind of looked at it, and I got such an overwhelming response from many, especially many young girls from all over the country who were saying, you know, this information, I can't find this anywhere else. No one will tell me how it really is. And so I've been mentoring girls online via email and through my blog. And so that's when I said, well, let me make this more intimate and let them meet me. So let me do the seminar. So that's kind of where I started with the whole seminar. And the title of it is Modeling 101, How to Break into the Industry the Smart Way.
Right. So would you feel that you have broken into the industry by this point?
I would say definitely yes. I've had a lot of successes, and the bad thing about me is whenever I achieve one success, before I can really relate, I'm already thinking ahead, saying, okay, what's the next bigger thing I can get into to top what I just did?
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a recognizable housewife yet,
right.
But people do know me. They search me on Google and they say, wow, I had no idea you did all this. And
right.
A lot of people who frankly don't believe me, you know, and so, I have to say, go ahead and Google me, Dania Denise, and, you know, my shoots pop up, my blog pops up.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, you know, I'm 5'4", and a lot of people, when they hear that, they're like, you've got to be lying. You have to be 5'8", 5'9". No, you don't. No,
yeah.
You don't. There's more to modeling than fashion and runway.
Yeah.
There's commercial print.
Well, yeah, that's true. Oops. I don't know what you did here.
I'm sorry. You know what? I should have known. Every time I go to MySpace, I regret it, okay? Because the page is open and there's like a million friggin' things on the page and they all start playing right away, you know? I was merely trying to go to your MySpace page because I Googled you.
Oh, sorry about that.
And yeah, now I had to close my whole browser because of that.
I just put it on mute.
Yeah, if I put it on mute, I won't be able to hear you either, you know? So,
that is funny.
No, that's okay. So, no MySpace for me, you know. I mean, it seems like it's the slowest site in the world, you know. It's like every time somebody sends me a link to MySpace, it's like painful to get on there, you know.
So, what's an internet browser that I could bring up on my computer to look up you?
No, just go to MySpace. You know what? Go to Google and just Google her name, Dania Denise. Dania Denise, and you'll see there's a MySpace there. But is there a better site to see you at?
There's also pixo.com/DaniaDenise, and I swear, I promise there's no music on there.
what is it again? Pixo?
It's Pixo. It's P as in Paul, I, Z as in Zebra, co.com/DaniaDenise.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We'll look it up later, but I wanted to ask you, so...
Wow, you are gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well, she did say she's a model. And
wow.
This is not a 00, this is a 00.
No,
you're
it's
saying.
Not.
Oh,
I'm
mean,
2435.
She looks thin, doesn't she?
I mean, no, you look great. You look like a healthy woman. You look like a very healthy woman,
yeah.
And there's nothing... You know, I mean, you have hips, just like me. I have hips, but we're not scrawny looking. And why should any model, you know, have to make it in the business? And the only way to do that is to be looking anorexic and so on.
Right.
And you're
and
right.
It's detrimental to these young girls and even some of the guys. And it's amazing because the number one question I get from many girls through my site, through my blog, how much do I need to weigh? And I just stop myself and I say, first of all, it's not about weight, it's about your measurements. If you can fit the clothing samples, you've got it made. I hardly know that someone will look at you and say, my gosh, I think she's 10 pounds over our weight range. It's just not realistic.
You know?
The only time weight plays a factor is if they say, well, you don't quite fit the garment, you need to slim down. That's where the weight comes into play. But if you're not even 5'7", 5'8", you don't even need to worry about that. Go straight for commercial print. You can do catalogs, you can do boards, you can do flyers, you can do all kinds of wonderful stuff. You may not grace a runway,
commercial
print jobs pays very well, and they don't tell you to slim down. They take you as art, and that is what I love about what I do.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, this is some great advice for women who want to get into modeling, you know. So I would imagine you teach a lot of those things in your seminars?
Yes, this is actually going to be my first seminar, so I'm nervous, but in an excited way. It's taking place. It's, of course, it's up here in Emeryville. It's much colder where I am. Mm-hmm. But I would love to come to L.A. and do a seminar if someone says, hey, we need you down here. But the first seminar is taking place on Saturday, April 26th. Mm-hmm. It's from 12 to 3 o'clock p.m., and it's at the Hilton Garden Inn, which is in Emeryville.
Oh, wow. I should probably fly up there just for that seminar, you know, and get to see San Jose. Get to see San Jose in the process. But yeah, I love Northern California. It's really nice. So, so are you like doing modeling full time now?
You know, I juggle many hats right now. I do it part time. My dream would be to do it full time. At this point, I hold down a regular 9 to 5. I have my degree in radio TV with journalism as my minor. So I do a lot of online journalism. I build website content, things like that. So I'm a smart cookie, not just good looking. You got to have the brains too.
Well, obviously. Well, you have the qualifications to be a host on BBS Talk Radio, so maybe you want to consider that, you know? I mean,
you
have the looks. You have the looks, you have the brains. That's all it takes.
I think I might have to join you guys soon.
Yeah, you will have to. Yeah. So now, how does a girl from obviously not a very big town get into this? I mean, have you always wanted to model since you were young?
You know, it's funny because, like I said, it's been 10 years ago that I started. I'm 25 now. I started when I was 15 because I act as well. But back then, 10 years ago, there were no reality shows. There was no America's Next Top Model. So people, you know, didn't think as much about modeling. And I know I sure didn't. I got a flyer in the mail and it said, you know, if you're interested in modeling or acting, we're having a casting call in San Francisco. Bring your parents if you're under 18. Submit a picture and see what happens. And I just looked at it and I said, that seemed kind of fun. You know, I'm 15. So I said, that looks fun. Mom, Dad, let's go. So we went to the city. It was about 45 minutes from the small town of Fairfield where I'm originally from. Mm-hmm. And I submitted a snapshot. They gave me a call back. They said, we like your look. We want to work with you more. And so I did some photo shoots, some test shoots, and auditioned in front of a bunch of agents. Mm-hmm. And got signed, and that's how I got into it.
So. Great. So I would imagine, you know, because I've often thought about it. I mean, I don't go to auditions or anything, but I was thinking that it's just like a job. You know, when you're looking for a candidate, you're looking for an actress, you're looking for a model, you have a certain look or a certain person in mind. So if you get 1,000 people and you have to reject them all, these 1,000 people do not have to take it personally, like I'm not good.
No,
it's just
not
that
at all.
I'm not what he was looking for this particular role.
That's how I face auditions.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't get it, I don't go like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? It's like,
right,
you already know that in their minds they have something specific. And I may not fit that, even though I've done, like, I've been to auditions where I've done really awesome reads. And you think, my God, that was really awesome. But you don't get it because I'm not exactly what they're looking for.
But in this case, Dania, you were exactly what they were looking for. You said they liked your look and everything. So so that's awesome. So at what age did you actually start appearing in commercials or advertisements? Do you do print too, or
commercials?
Just,
PSA. Yeah. I was 15, and
15. Wow.
It was a small gig. It was for a church out of San Francisco. They were trying that, you know, we're not strictly, you know, upper class white. We include diversity.
Yeah.
People, and I never got to see the actual commercials. And every time I tried to tune, but I would go to school the next day. I think it was a week after I did the.
Yeah.
Were looking at me, and I couldn't understand why, and they said, who are you? And I said, oh, really? Oh, that's awesome. I wish I could have seen it, too. You know, it's these things, but very rarely, especially when it comes to TV, can you actually your labor, you know?
Yeah.
But so that was very exciting to do. At 21, I did Jet Magazine, and that was amazing. Mm. Everyone calling me, who subscribed to the magazine, calling me and saying, you know, in Jet Magazine, and I'm looking at you right now, and that's when people really started to know who I was, and that, you know, this wasn't just a small local thing. I was very serious about it.
Yeah, so you were Jet Girl of the Month, because I remember reading. I remember reading the Jet magazines. Beauty of the Week. That's right.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Yeah.
I remember it now.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look very exotic. So, are you like African American? Are you mixed?
My dad is African American. My mother is Filipino.
Oh, wow. That gives you that exotic look. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah. You look pretty hot, you know. I mean, but maybe a little too young for me, but not really.
Flattered me nonetheless. Thank you.
Yeah.
No. Well, I was just browsing through your model blog 101. You know, on one of your sites there, and I like the subject matters that you take into because it's probably a lot of questions that young inspiring models are curious about. You know, and you even go into beauty tips and hair care, face care, health care, fitness and fitness and nutrition and so on, as I can see that. And then, of course, going into the acting business as well. You know, so you've got all different areas that you're touching base on. And I give you a lot of kudos for that. That's for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of people just have to realize it's more than what you see on the surface. It's more about meeting the requirements and having the look. It just, there's a whole other side to it. This is a job for the working models out there, whether they're big or whether they're just doing small gigs around local cities,
right.
You know, spending hours on a photo shoot. I was just on a shoot for a photographer's portfolio. We were working with two other models, and we were this, like, sludge kind of crazy background. It was just kind of a cool dynamic, and, oh, it smelled to high heaven, and we were freezing, and, you know, when we're shooting, and we're lost with heels, and I just said under my breath, I said, if people... For anyone who says this job is easy needs to come and stand in my heels right now.
Oh,
you know,
this is
work for us. It's the work that we enjoy. It's something that you just have to have a natural talent for. And that's the whole other side to the issue is not everyone's going to make it. I think I read somewhere the percentage of models who make it to supermodel status is between 1% to 2%.
That's
a lot of people who just don't make the cut. And a lot of these young girls have to understand, like I said before, there is more to life than modeling. I strongly press education, getting a diploma, getting a career, getting your degree, and having something to walk on, because no one wants to see a model who can't model. They just seem so out of place, you know, that's a different reality for them, and that's not somewhere you want to put yourself.
No, not at all, not at all. I've had a few bad modeling experiences when they're coming into the environment that you have to deal with.
Yeah. Now, don't you think... don't you feel that if you move to L.A. or a place like New York, L.A., you'd be able to get more work?
I thought about that. At this point in my life, I have so many other things that I'm juggling. I also just started my own art business because I paint, I draw, I do Photoshop art and things like that. And that's been kind of taking off. And at this point, I know eventually I'll get to L.A., but at this point in my life, I'm pretty content with where I'm at. It's almost like I know that I can get a job here and there, but I just want to just get these people on track, these young girls, and help them and push their careers along.
Yeah,
you know,
that's awesome.
They can take it. That's kind of been where my mind is at right now. But who knows, maybe in a year or two I'll pack up everything and head down to L.A. And I don't do snow, so I can't go to New York.
Yeah.
No, neither can I.
Spoiled by my California sun.
Yeah. Is there a book in your future? Do you think you're going to want to write about this stuff too, in addition to the seminar?
You know, that's what everyone's been asking me. A lot of them are saying, you know, if you bought a book or if you wrote a book, I would definitely buy it. Mm. And I obviously, you know, I have a lot to say, and my blog, you know, I have over 200 posts, so I obviously have a lot to talk about. So why not do a book? Why not?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, you just need someone to transcript a lot of your blog into the book, perhaps.
And you can get yourself a nice niche, you know, by being the person who helps models and gives them guidance and direction. And so forth, you know. So it could make you much bigger than if you just were a model, merely model, you know. So
exactly, you know. I think it's very good to have more than talent. You know, it's that's always been my thing. I knew modeling is not going to last forever. I plan to take very good care of myself so that I look, you know, good into middle ages and fun. But eventually, people aren't going to want me in front of a camera, so I might as well make myself useful, you know, in a lot of other ways.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely take a lesson from Manu. You know, nobody wants to look at her anymore. She loves when I tease her like that. But I was going to ask you. More serious note. Do you encounter discrimination because of your skin color, because of your race, in the modeling industry?
You know, it's a touchy subject, but yes, There have been times when my agent will call me for a certain casting or a go-see, and they'll tell me what it's for, and and this is not to be pessimistic in any way. I'm very much a realist. I never say no, because you don't tell your agent no, but I almost want to say I don't quite think I'm what they're looking for. I think they're going to want, you know, an Asian model or a Caucasian model.
Right.
But it's just some companies, they know already, in a sense, even though they have been the person, they have an idea of what they want, and usually it's not me.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't mean that in a bad way.
But it doesn't.
And I don't take it personally at all.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm sure it doesn't have to do with you personally. Because I can't imagine, you know, I mean, if there's a demand for an exotic looking girl, they're not going to take a white skinned blonde, you know, I mean, so
right.
that's where you'd come in, you know, so
and the niche for that, you know, I just shot two hair magazines, black hair magazines, where I'm wearing, you know, very exotic braids, they're fishtail braids, and we did an art of hair show out in Oakland, and so I mean, there are those demographics that need models that look like me, and, and that's where I want to push myself towards, because you want to represent the people that look like you. People sell products every day based on who the consumer can relate to, and you know, they can't, you know, a young black girl, you know, with braids, can't relate to someone that looks like, you know, the next blonde model representing the product. She doesn't use that product, you know, she has no reason to, but if you put me in there, she says, hey, she looks like, her hair is like me, you know, I want to try that. And that's how the whole business side of it works. It's completely business, and also people have to understand, this is a business that we're working in. All models are replaceable, you know, even the top models can be knocked off of their stool if the next best thing comes along. That's
just
how it operates.
That's true. That's very, very true.
You're right. Well, that's great. So why don't you give out your blog again? And you also have your own website, DaniaDenise.com, which I'm at.
I do. It's under construction right now. The stuff that's up there is very outdated, but I've got a wonderful graphic artist, design artist, working on a new flash website. It's going to have all new pictures and ways to get with me, and I'm very excited for it. Hopefully it should be done by this week's end. But that is DaniaDenise.com. You can also find out more about what I do, and I talk about my seminar and everything in the modeling world on my blog, and that is at amodelsdiary.blogspot.com. Okay. And if you want to check me out on MySpace and listen to my loud music, it is myspace.com/DaniaDeniseModeling.
Yeah, and put some earplugs in to prepare before you go into her page, because your ears are going to be blown out. So and Dania is spelled D-A-N-I-A, and Denise D-E-N-I-S-E. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. I'm really glad you called. I mean, this was really interesting, you know, and I like to see people that are out there trying to help other people achieve their dreams, you know, and it's really nice. And then in the process, you get notoriety for yourself, and you're out there, and people get to know you, you know. So there's different ways to get there.
I think, I think what you're doing is a good, healthy outlook on things, and certainly a lot more people, a lot more girls who are trying to, you know, who are fantasizing about this business need to be going to, before they even attempt to try to, you know, go into a career like that. And, you know, I mean, I don't care what anyone says, but people keep saying, well, you know, the times are changing, you know, we don't have the anorexic models anymore and so on. But you know what, it is still there. And if it's not a zero, it's a size two. And, you know, they're thinking a size two is heading towards the curvier women. I don't think so. You know what I mean?
It hasn't happened right away. Not enough for it to make a difference.
Exactly.
Not enough for it to make a difference.
Exactly. And I think a more realistic size for modeling and so on, and even for the catwalk, catwalk, at least a size four, because even a size four is tiny on a tall woman. You know, I'm a size 6 to 8 on a well, you know, commonly a size 8 for a 5'10" woman, and you know, and I'm a curvaceous. I'm not big, but I'm certainly.
Not at all.
I still got a nice you know, nice ass on me.
Yeah. I'll get turned any day on a woman, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice ass if she does say so herself, you know?
Yeah, I get told every day.
The jury is still out. So I noticed on your website your birthday is February 4th, right? Well, our station shares the same birthday with you. That's when we launched, February 4th of this year. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Love that date.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Happy belated birthday.
So she was born in 83. When I was in 83, I was 23 years old.
Wow.
I just dated myself.
Made
you
think, huh?
Yeah. There you go.
And you know, just 3 years later, I joined the military.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Wow. Yeah, we got We have a former soldier here, our own GI Jane. And
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Dania, thank you so much for calling. Good luck with what
thank
you're
you
doing,
so much.
And we'll have we'll put a couple links to your site. Is there any links to your seminar so people know where to sign up?
If they go straight to my blog, the dietmodelsdiary.com, I have the flyer that's actually up there, and that gives all the information, and it's very easy to get to. Just click on it, and it's right there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we're going to check it out. Anybody who's in the San Jose area, please go and meet Dania in person, and especially if you're a model. And if you're not, I'm sure it still can help you with anything in show business, right? I mean, it seems like you have to deal with the same things. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for calling. Manu, anything else you want to add?
No. Okay. Keep doing what you're doing, and
I will.
You know, and
I'm on a mission.
So you're gonna be kind of like, you know, going along the lines of Tyra Banks. How's that? I know you're a fan of hers. So am I. I love Tyra Banks.
Yeah, she's great. I'm trying to do what Tyra did for fashion, but I'm trying to do it for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm seeing too.
That's
cool. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Okay, well.
You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Take care. Okay, that was Dania. I keep wanting to say Dania, but it's Dania.
Dania.
Yeah. Neat name.
It is. Yeah. It is.
And she's a real nice girl, huh? I mean, she's interesting. She likes to talk. She knows what she's talking about. And it's awesome. You know, I mean, the thing is that we're getting some hosts also. It seems like everybody in this town wants to help people and to explain to people how to survive the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, this is my story and I'm struggling this and I'm struggling that. And there's a lot of people wanting to get this message out there. So
that's
a good thing, you know, I mean, to encourage people, because it's very hard. I mean, when you have to deal with rejection all day, it's kind of hard, you know, to really stay positive and keep on going, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very, very true.
How do you do that? How do you do it?
Well, actually, it doesn't really faze me that much.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't mind that you go and then they don't call you? Or
No.
No?
No, not at all.
Do you ever have to follow up
on
auditions? Do you ever call them, or is it pretty much, don't call us, we'll call you?
Oh, I think it's a rule of thumb.
Yeah.
You know, don't call us, we'll call you.
Otherwise, they'd have to sit by the phone all day.
I mean, because we've had, oh my gosh, I do know of one guy who obviously couldn't handle rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, he decided, because he wasn't picked, or you know what I mean, but for whatever reason, okay, he decided that he was going to follow the casting director back to his home. So for the rest of the day, this guy followed the casting director back to the home and then went up and knocked on the door and said, I can't believe you didn't pick me and this and that. And now that's when you have dealing with people who are freaking idiots for one thing.
Right.
Not necessarily mental, but they need, you know, it's those people who are so disillusioned about the whole business and how it works. And obviously, if he's going to behave like that, and go to that extent, which is just number one rule you just do not do, you know, then he doesn't need to be in the business.
Yeah, and he just fucked up his chances, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be blacklisted for the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
What are people thinking about, you know?
Of course. But this is just one incident that I know of, but I'm pretty sure that it happens, you know, I'm pretty sure it happens regularly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, but come on, people, get a grip on yourselves. You know, who cares? And to me, if I'm not casted for a role, then I think, well, maybe that's not the role. There could be another role that is set up for me, and I should be doing that one instead of this one. Who knows?
Yeah.
It doesn't faze me. It really doesn't. I'm over that.
Good.
I'm so over it.
You're so
well,
over
I never really it. Considered yeah. it in the first place.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask her if in modeling there's the same thing as the casting couch, you know? I bet you they go through the same hassles, huh?
It is, yeah. I think it's
probably
a very
even more
thing.
So, you know, because models are usually very beautiful, whereas actresses, you know, you may not have to be beautiful for the role,
right?
You know, but so, yeah, I mean that's you know, I don't know. Maybe if I was a casting director, I'd do the same thing. You know, I mean, chance for easy pussy, and
yeah. But I mean, I've been to like a modeling lineup, mm-hmm. you know, for something that was going on. This is a while back now. And, you know, they all told us to stand there and pose. And it's like, oh, okay. And then they told us to turn around and pose again. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, just a simple model pose.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually got told that I had a fat back, meaning like, you know,
a
my
fat
back.
Fat back? Wow.
Yeah,
doesn't look to me like it's fat.
No, well, because of the way, and I was much thinner then. I was very thin.
Really?
But because of the way I stood, you uh-huh. know, I had a roll in my back.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like the wrinkles you get
in
your skin.
Yeah, the little wrinkle. Yeah, so I was like, oh, a fat back? Like, oh, okay, fat back. and then I've also been told that my ankles are too thick.
Really?
Yeah.
Cankles? You have cankles?
Cankles?
That's what they
I don't
call
know.
Them.
Is that
thick
what they
ankles.
Thick ankles? Yeah.
Cankles.
Well, hell.
Really?
God, could you imagine me having tiny, like fragile ankles
in
the military?
It wouldn't carry you, huh?
No. That's not me.
You got a big frame. I mean, you're an Amazon. Or
hell,
on the way
here
there.
I am. I'm the Amazon queen.
Yes.
I love it, though.
Yeah. I know. So today, now I don't know if this is true or not, okay? Because I don't see it on the wires or on the news, but in the elevator in the news, it said that Bush is going to do a speech for the 5 years in Iraq. So I'm gathering that today marks the 5 year of the war.
Oh.
And he's like with his own little world. We must win. It's you know, it was a great thing that we went there.
Yeah.
I mean, this mother. Fucker is so out of touch that it's really, really irritating, you know? And I knew this was going to happen before he was elected the first time.
Yes.
I warned, I said, this man is a fucking asshole. Okay? He
and
knows
he's gonna,
nothing.
Yeah.
He knows nothing. All he has ever done is be a fucking loser, you know? I mean, he had fucking oil companies. He lost money there. He didn't know how to make money.
No.
You know,
he
was
didn't.
A Texas governor. I don't know what he did there. You know, pulled over for drunk driving for DUI when he was young, did coke.
I
mean, he's a fucking loser.
Yeah.
You know, and to take the war so lightly and to just bluntly lie to people to their face is a disgrace to our military, to our soldiers, to the intelligence of the American people.
Yes.
It's a fucking insult.
It is. It is totally.
You know?
And I also heard a speech that he did recently as well, you know, about this, he stood up and he said, you know, with my generation or, I don't know, generosity, I'm going to go ahead and send families, you know, the $600 check.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, this whole business.
Yeah, like it comes out of his pocket.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Well, I still haven't seen the goddamn $600.
Yeah. This is money that we paid in.
Yeah. Of course it is.
You know, so he's not doing us any favors.
But his reasoning is to boost the economy, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? The spending, the consumer economy and so on.
Right.
But he also then goes on to state in his fumbling, idiotic ways that this will help help heal, how would you say, homeowners' misfortunes, you know,
yeah.
you know, of losing their homes. I was like, did you just hear what you just said? Are you seriously thinking that $600 is going to help some family who's losing their freaking home?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
mean, he's so out of touch.
He's just so out of touch.
You know, he's not
even in
this funky
planet.
And now
we've got gas prices, which are coming, like, tipping over $4 a gallon now.
Boom.
Like yesterday, I was I was running on the red light for 2 days. Okay. So I was like, oh God, you know. So anyways, I busted out, you know, one of my cards and, I said, like, I gotta fill up my tank. So filling up my tank, 14 and a half gallons, it cost me over $60.
Wow.
I was like, this is ridiculous.
It's way too expensive. You know, but as I've said before, I mean, gas is a lot cheaper, or a lot more expensive in the rest of the world. So it's all relative. But yeah, I mean, it's costing a lot of money to fill up a car.
I know.
There's no doubt about it. And they're saying the prices are going to keep going up. So.
Yeah. There's like some prices are close to $5 now.
Yeah. $5? Where?
Yes.
No.
I don't think
it's gone past 4 yet.
No,
anyway.
They're claiming that they're predicting that it's actually going to spike close to $5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
I know.
That's too much. That's way too much.
And then you got those people with their fast cars still going to put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Suck up those gas.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, I just read something pretty disturbing in the news today.
Yeah.
And we're trying to class ourselves
as
intelligent people.
Well, Bush is
going to
stay for another 4 years.
Oh, my God, no, please. No.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a bit on the rough side, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are trying to claim that we're intelligent human beings or maybe.
Okay.
Or something.
That's the key word, trying.
Trying. Okay, that is the key word. Well, unfortunately, in Detroit, a couple was charged in the death of their 2-year-old boy after his charred remains were found hidden in the basement ceiling. Now, the police said that the parents had burned the child's dead body on the home barbecue grill to cover up the death of the son.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Fuck. It's like their own cremation thing, but they didn't go all the way, so the body remained.
Yes. I mean, is that...
How the
fuck can
people do this? Do you
know
the smell of burning flesh? I mean, it's unbearable.
I know. And check this out. This is what makes me say that young people who were in their 20s, because the parents of this child are in their 20s,
mm-hmm.
okay, should not be trying to have a family.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what happened or how it happened or anything
of
the sort.
Are,
but who cares? The end result is this ugly, ugly thing that just happened to a beautiful human.
Yeah.
You know.
And the stuff that people do to their kids, you know, I mean, it goes beyond comprehension. I mean, how can you? You know? How can you? And are they saying how the baby died? Did they kill him?
Well, that's the information that we haven't been given yet because this was just released.
Just released. Just on the wires, folks.
Yeah, just on the wires. I just pulled it up now because, you know, I got my eye on the computer.
Yeah.
But that is sad. Very, very sad. It's disturbing.
Yeah, very sad. I did want to bring up the fact that, let's see. I guess we should start wrapping up because Gina is here. I want to make sure that she has plenty of time, but we still have a few good minutes.
Woo-hoo.
So today is what? Wednesday, right?
Wednesday the 19th.
Okay. And so it's not yet time for what? I don't know.
I don't know. What
the fuck am I
saying?
See, that's a brain fart, you know?
Well, it doesn't smell. Yeah. That's good.
But I wanted to introduce a new show. We have a new host named Mark Mallory, and he's going to do a show called Navigation, and he's going to deal with the law of attraction and you know, sort of like how to live your life and so forth. So it sounds pretty interesting. A very sweet guy, very nice.
It's got to be a better version of The Secret, right?
Yeah, The Secret's boring. But no, I mean, he talks about all kinds of interesting things about, you know, how to live your life, how to look at things, blah, blah, blah. So it sounds pretty interesting. And he's going to be on Thursdays at 11 11 in the morning here on BBS Talk Radio. So don't miss him. Don't miss Mark.
Well, that's going to be a big change when Gary comes on, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to talk Garber about something like o'clock. That. And then Gary comes on later that day. And
yeah. And they're like a shot out of a cannon, pretty much. But that's what our station's about, you know? I mean, it covers the entire spectrum, you know? And so that's that. There was one more thing I wanted to discuss with you real quick, and that is... Johnny brought up, or his wife called into the show, Johnny Dam, yesterday, about the rowdy neighbors, right, that are making noises after midnight, you know, and shouting and screaming and stuff. And she didn't say, like...
Partying or fighting?
Well, it sounds like they're fighting, but they just talk very loud.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So it's funny.
That's you and your wife.
Thank you very much. So she describes, and she says they're not European, they didn't speak English, they didn't speak that, and the Palestinians don't like them, right? So I called and I said, okay, she's talking about us now. So I called and I said, I would assume you're talking about Israelis, right? Even if you didn't clarify this, and I would know this is who you're talking about, because these talk very loud, okay? And it always sounds like we're arguing, you know? My kids in the beginning, you know, when they started to understand, they'd see me talking to friends or family and stuff. They're like, why are you shouting? Why are you fighting with each other? I'm like, we're not. That's the way we talk.
I know. That's how you get when you're compassionate about something.
Exactly,
and you want to put
something across. And that's the Middle Eastern, you know, temperament, so to speak. But along with that goes a lot of rudeness, you know, and selfishness. And that's what I can't deal with, you know. I went back there 3-4 months ago, and I'm telling you, you know, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know. The rudeness, the way people drive in the cars and ready to kill you pretty much, you know. there's no such thing as lines. So when you go to the movies or you're waiting at the bus stop.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, there's no line. I mean, it's just a bunch of people trying to get in and pushing each other.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be like that or you won't get on the bus.
Yeah. It's like that in Japan, too.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. You see, I swear I was spun around about 20 times before I got on the train.
So you see, that's what I'm saying. This is the great country to live because people here, you know, when they come, for the most part, they assimilate and they take on the, you know, all the traditions and the customs and everything. And you come here and you don't push, you know, and you stand in line like a good child, you know. So I don't know, but yeah, we were having a little fun with that. And I told them, I said, I'll teach you a few cuss words in Hebrew and you can just cuss them out, you know, and I think they'll listen then.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, so that's the situation there. And, you know, what are you going to do? You know, and again, our computer tells us that everybody's tuning in right as we're going off the air. So it's either because they love Gina or they hate us and they waited for the end, you know, so, We'll see what's going on, but at any rate, stay tuned for Gina Hendricks with her show Love Life Makeovers coming right up.
And she also has a special guest on today.
A special guest, I can't wait to meet him, and they're already waiting in the station. So, Manu, you have a great day. She's already distracted by this handsome man sitting over here. So, okay, well, so much for Manu. Goodbye, Manu.
Goodbye, Sam.
All right. So, everyone, thanks for joining us again. And we're going to be back with you tomorrow. Same place, same time. Have a wonderful, wonderful
full
day.
Full day.